In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
It's You Better You Bet with Ken Barkley and Nick Ashew on BetQL.
BetQL helps you make smarter bets throughout the football season, and now we're giving you a chance to win cash prizes. BetQL Giving Props is a free-to-play contest that starts Wednesday, January 12th. Checking my calendar. That happens to be tomorrow. It runs through the pro football postseason. It's easy. Each playoff round, BetQL will post 10 props. The person with the most correct picks each week wins $2,000. That's plenty of money. No reason why you wouldn't want to do this. Just by signing up, you'll automatically be entered into a random grand prize drawing for $10,000. That's even more money. Just go to betql.com/props to sign up. That's betql.com/props. It starts Wednesday. That's tomorrow. You can make your picks and you can win cash. Everybody likes to win cash, so you should choose that. He's Ken Barkley. I'm Nick Ashew in for Nick Costos.
Here we like you cash. You bet.
We like cash. That is, nobody will turn down cash, especially when there's not a lot of effort involved in it as well. So I did not win cash picking Alabama last night, but I will move on from that because this is it. No, cashew is not a thing. No, Bill. No,
Nick Cashew.
I've heard that. Nick Cashew.
Oh,
yeah.
No.
Well, it's funny. Man. That's how I tell people if they don't know how to pronounce my name.
Right.
Cashew, Ashew, Cashew. It works every time. I wish I had learned that when I was younger, when I was in like fifth grade, sixth grade. Well, people are going to make the sneeze jokes anyway, and they still do it now. But
right.
You know, it would have made more sense if I just done that from the beginning. I would have made life so much easier for myself, you know?
I think what we're saying,
I was picked on.
I'm trying to read between the lines here. And I think what we're saying is, Bill, when you clip this part of the podcast, Nick giving NFL picks for Wildcard Weekend, I think this segment is now called Nick Cashew. I think that's what Nick's trying to tell you. He said, sort of, I know he's sending ambiguous messages right now. I've tried to read between the lines. I think he actually really wants you to call the segment that. Please do that.
Well, between that and the name that we came up for your other segment now, what do we even call it now? I totally forgot what it was.
Well, D-Gen Memories?
D-Gen Memories. I think that's what it was.
Right.
It's one of those.
And Bill had a good name. Scotland had that suggestion,
Slides of Your Sides.
Oh, you know what that reminds me of? Ready for a tangent here? How much of a tangent do you want?
I love it. Go. I'm going to wind you up. Ready? Go.
All right. Now you got a second tangent because you did that. So the first one is I used to work at ESPN. I wish I knew where this guy worked now. Really, really smart production guy. Was a couple years younger than me, and I was kind of like trained him a lot. And I would always ask him, "How are you doing?" And he'd be like, "Living the dream." That's always what he would say every single time. It was like on autopilot. Anytime anybody asked him how he was doing, "Living the dream." And I used to joke that I would just have to like pull the string on his back. I'd be like, "All right, Kevin, I'm pulling the string." Like living the dream. So you just wind me up. I got some tangents stored in here. But the slides of your sides, which was the Scotland suggestion for the college football segment that we did earlier, one of my favorite single episodes of any television show that's ever been produced. Well, restricted to drama, I guess, because comedy and drama we probably need to evaluate differently. Like there are Seinfeld episodes that are incredible. There are Simpsons episodes that are incredible. One of my favorite single episodes of any drama is the season finale of season one of Mad Men, called The Wheel. And are you familiar with season one? I believe it's episode 13.
Yes.
I think the first episode was 13. You familiar with this, Nick? Mm-hmm. And the slides of your sides relates to this because for people, anybody who remembers the episode, and I'll be dropping a lot of spoilers because it's been out for 10 years. You can just feel free to watch it.
There's a statute of limitations, man. After a few years, if you haven't watched the show, sorry, then just cover your ears for a second.
It's a phenomenal episode of television, and it features within it Don Draper, the main character played by John Hamm, is obviously works in an advertising agency for anybody who doesn't follow the show, but is pitching Kodak, I think is who is pitching, on their slide projector, basically. And the message that they've given to all the people who are going to pitch them, all the different advertising companies, is to try to like use the wheel in a way. And they even joke during the episode, how many meetings are they going to go to where somebody says reinvent the wheel? Like, how many meetings are they going to go to with advertisers where they say that? And Don basically comes up with this way to say slides, way to sell the slide projector as, it's not a wheel, it's a carousel. And the like 2 minute pitch that he gives is like stomach churning intense in just this like really, it's like captivating. It's absolutely captivating. And you know you're being pitched by an ad man while you're listening to it. And at the same time, you're just like you don't know whether you want to like have like a tear fall down your face or just like enjoy it or appreciate it. I mean, it's just, it's remarkable. And obviously, like, the more you watch the show, there are a lot more moments, not quite like that, but that are good like that. And that's every time I hear slides, I'm just like, oh, the carousel. I was actually rewatching that episode like a couple weeks ago, I think. So the wheel, anybody who has not watched Mad Men, first of all, shame on you. Season one's exceptional. But the finale called The Wheel is just like, I've ruined the scene for you and you'll still watch it and you'll enjoy the crap out of it. I mean, it's just like unbelievable. So there's your tangent on slides, slides of your sides. There you go.
That was actually, you know what? I don't even think that was a tangent. I thought it was just a good, good analysis. And it reminds you of a very good season for a very good show. No tangent.
Well, nostalgia.
Involved.
I thought you were going to be angry. That's the theme of the.
Yeah,
that's the theme.
That
of the
is
pitch.
Nostalgia. Yeah, I was expecting more of like you were really angry at something and you were going to get just like mad, take your beanie and throw it off and throw your.
Got a lot of problems like, with you people. Yeah.
But I got problems and I need to address them now. Ken Barkley's mad. All right. This is one of my favorite weekends. Like there are certain weekends in sports that just kind of resonate with me more than others because there's just so much going on. It's the first weekend in March Madness. It's just fantastic. And then it's the first two weekends now, and they've gotten even better in the NFL when you get to the playoffs, because now we have super wild card weekend. You want to talk about advertising and branding? It's like Mad Men, right? It's not just wild card weekend anymore, Ken. It's super wild card weekend. The only thing that's better maybe is the divisional round because you have some teams that kind of sneak in. It is new. It is very much special. The only disappointment that I have with all this, as we get into these games and we look early on, and I don't know whether you're willing to make any picks yet. If you're making things official later, I have no idea, and that's totally fine. I've got my
Vegas
first glance
already, and the number went away already. Well, it's not gone everywhere, but it's almost gone. Yeah, I like Vegas.
Yeah, I've got that's it. Just Vegas. Just
I mean,
just
I like Vegas, some other stuff, but that's the only bet that's in the account, or the one that's the one that Nick and I were the most confident about yesterday. I guess
yeah.
I should say.
Yeah. It's. The only thing for me about this early on is I'm slightly concerned about something happening with a guy last minute being out because of COVID. Shaq Barrett looks like he's back now. He's out of COVID.
That could happen for you too, though. By the way,
yeah, it can.
That could happen in your favor. Like you could make a bet and then look like a genius because
you know
the Eagles.
I like your attitude with this. No one else has said this.
Glass half full of COVID.
Rainbow
carriers. Glass half empty of COVID.
Great.
Glass half full. Yeah. So, right. what a disgusting description. I mean, just, right?
Those things been so hard to predict really this have to deal with what it is, but as we get in here, I think the thing I was disappointed in, like I said, was that we didn't have a tie to get both the Chargers in and to get the Raiders in. Because I didn't want to see Big Ben and I didn't want to see the Steelers offense.
Right.
I don't want to see the Steelers in this, but if I'm going to look at that first game, I'm going to go and I'm going to stay on the Bengals bandwagon. I know you went Vegas. I'm all in on the Bengals. I'm going total opposite of you.
All
I'm fading
all
you guys.
In on the
I
Bengals,
like the Bengals
just,
minus 5.5.
So laying the points too, not just all in on them that you think they're going to win the game. Just all you want to lay the points too.
I'm laying the points.
Okay. Wow. I think we just lost Nick. Yep, and Nick's back. I think Nick's connection is suffering a little bit. Nick, are you back? It seems like you're back in full now.
I'm here. I couldn't tell what was going on. I was like, am I still there or not? It was doing one of those moments where it's just,
this is
how it goes. So there we go.
Yeah, the software that runs this fickle would be the right word to probably use to describe it. So if you were trying to open like a site to to perhaps give you the odds of these games while we were about to talk about them, then Quick Link, the software that we use, would probably say, no, no, sir. It would wag the Dikembe Mutombo figure at you. No, no, no. You're not opening a site.
I was stalling a minute because I was waiting for you to say, oh, we lost Nick, but I was still there. So anyway, let's get back to where we were. Yes. So what I was stalling at before I finally got to, and I realized I was still here and then it kicked me off, was, yes, I love the Bengals. And I love, because here's the thing for me. I love, over the last six games, the Raiders, other than obviously what they did against the Chargers, the Raiders have averaged just 19.2 points a game. And against that Bengals offense, they got to be able to compete with what you've seen from Ja'Marr Chase and Joe Burrow. Now, you could say, oh, maybe they're a little rusty because they didn't play last week. You also could say Joe Burrow is going to be healthier because he didn't play last week. The 35 points last Sunday against the Chargers, that was the most points that Vegas has scored since November 25th. That's the first time they've scored more than 23 points since November 25th. They were 23rd in the NFL in points over that time, these last six games. They're just not scoring in a way that I see them keeping up with what the Bengals can do offensively. Now, some of this, too, may be just a slight amount of I've been riding the Bengals. I've been all on them since week one. I picked them to win the division after week one when I saw what they did against the Vikings, because it was also just the fact that they the way that they played the Vikings, and you know, we know obviously saw later what was going to happen with the Vikings in every single game losing or winning by like a point and their fans just having heart attacks every single game. But you watched how you know, Cincinnati gutted that out, and there was this energy. And I just looked at this team and I went, you know what? You can look at trends, you can look at numbers, or I could just look at the fact that this Bengals team just looks different. There's a swag, there's a confidence with them, and that stuff does matter. I understand that there's that can also guide you maybe in the wrong direction, but I'm a big believer in the eye test as well, and how a team looks and their body language and how they approach things. And you know, they've looked like a different team than even that certain stretch over the year. We were talking about how the Bengals couldn't win three straight. Remember, it was like Bengals win, then they lose, then they win, they win, they lose. Like, you finally at least got that three-game winning streak out of the Bengals, and there's enough here where I just see a team that's trending more up in Cincinnati and a team that's still trending a little bit downward, despite the fact of what happened Sunday night with the Raiders. I'm in on the Bengals in this game.
Well, the good news is, now that the market's kind of consensus 5.5, we don't have to totally be at odds, because when we talked about this game yesterday on the show, my point was just 6.5 and 6 have to bet the Raiders for me, just based on kind of like how I see the game playing out, how much credit I can give Cincinnati with no playoff experience. And what we tend to figure out is that in these first playoff starts, coaches and quarterbacks unfamiliar with these circumstances. And it's not like the Raiders are veterans. It's not like they've been to the playoffs a bunch of times, but you have two equal inexperienced teams. I think it creates like a hyper volatile game where, like, I made the point yesterday, I feel like the Raiders win more often than some of the other underdogs, because the type of favorite that they're playing can go crazy, can do what you think they're going to do, put up a million points, win by a lot. Totally possible, right? The Bengals offense against the Raiders defense seems like a mismatch, as long as the Raiders don't get home with their defensive line. Totally agree with you. It also seems more possible to me than like a normal 6-point playoff game that the dog wins. Just because it's Joe Burrow and Zach Taylor, of all people, in a first ever playoff start. Like, we have to consider the possibility that weird things might happen. You could get 40-3 Bengals. You could get 27-20 Raiders. And I don't feel that way about a lot of the other playoff matchups where, like, oh man, you could get this crazy range of outcomes. Like, Bucks-Eagles. Yeah, like, I think the Bucks are going to win a lot. Like, Chiefs-Steelers, I think the Chiefs are going to win a lot. Now, those are larger point spreads, I understand. But just even comparing some of the smaller favorites, I think Buffalo wins more often than Cincinnati wins. I just think that, and the range of results in that game are compressed more than in Vegas and Cincinnati. So I'm not even saying you're wrong. At 5.5, I wouldn't bet the Raiders at 5.5. I need 6 to bet them. So we're transitioning. Basically, as the line is coming down, we're sort of transitioning from me liking one side. And as that should happen, as the number comes down, we start to get in a range where you kind of start to like the other side. Welcome to what happens in the market, by the way, when you get buyback at certain numbers and people get involved, like, the number matters, obviously. So I don't, you know, now that we're in this range, yeah, I would imagine some people start to get interested in Cincinnati because now we're under 6.
Yeah, I'm really interested to see how this line moves over the next couple of days, too, just because of that. If people start leaning more, let's say, on Cincinnati and that number goes back up, like, where this, like, because of that volatility in this game, I think that absolutely matters. But so some of these, especially when you get to the playoffs, I always try to look for the team, if I'm kind of undecided, what team has been playing better over the last just few weeks of the season? Who's a little bit more comfortable?
Short-term
who looks
form
like they're a little bit more of a rhythm? And that's really where I am with Cincinnati. There is a team that is lying to us, though, and that would be the Philadelphia Eagles, because I love the Bucs minus 8.5 over Philadelphia.
Well, they're only lying if you believe the lie. I mean, it's just, are they lying, or is the media like trying to just really
show? They're lying to us. Yeah, they're lying. Right. Now, listen, it was about a month ago, and I was, I looked at their schedule, and I said this on my show on Saturdays, 10 to noon countdown to on BetQL Network and CBS Sports Radio. And the Eagles finished 6-2. And I looked at their schedule with my co-host Grant Paulson, and we said, they're going to make the playoffs, because they have the easiest schedule down the stretch. And a lot of that had to do with the fact they were playing really bad teams in their division, like my horrible Washington football team. So I looked at that and said, okay, this is a team that's going to make the playoffs. But because of the fact that that schedule was so easy, doesn't make me comfortable with them against the Bucs at all in this. The Eagles played only three teams that were better than 500 over the back half of the season. They lost two of those when they played six playoff teams at all this year. They lost all six. So they're one of those teams right there where you look at it and say, okay, you have wins over the Lions and the Jets and Washington twice and the Giants. We know the Giants are a mess. They got a coach that's going quarterback sneaks on from their own 4-yard line on 3rd and 9 like an idiot. Even the Broncos and Saints, those wins. I mean, you don't have great quarterback play in either one of them, so it's not like they're going to go up against Tampa and be as prepared. So I am all in on the Bucs minus 8.5. I would even bet that number if it went up closer to 10.
I don't blame you for feeling that way. We definitely have a bunch of data points of the Eagles against good teams and bad teams, and the differences are striking in that they've won all the games against the bad teams, and they've lost all, well, they haven't won all of them. They lost to the Giants in the first meeting somehow. They won almost all the meetings against the bad teams, and they lost all the games against the good teams. The other remarkable thing, and I guess you would assume this to be true in good team, bad team games, like the last time the Eagles played a game where they did not have the best quarterback by far was week 9. I mean, that's incredible,
right?
Like that's stunning. And I don't even know if Jalen Hurts is like that guy, but he's like in the upper half of the league. Probably he might be clinging onto the bottom of the upper half. The last time they played a quarterback that was better or as good as him was week 9.
I know. We'll get more of these games coming up next. It's You Better You Bet on BetQL.
It's You Better You Bet from BetQL. For the latest line movement and edges to beat the spread, download the BetQL app today.
It's You Better You Bet with Ken Barkley and Nick Ashew on BetQL.
Always a fan of the Ken Barkley head bob. Just back and forth. There you go. Yeah.
Stovetop, you got to get the shoulders in a little bit.
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
I can see this.
There's
box
a little
right
bit of
hit,
though.
I think the company sent me a box today, by the way. I don't know what they sent.
You got a box?
I got a box. I think it's from the company, but I haven't opened it yet. I got it yesterday. Was that yesterday or this morning? Couldn't remember. I don't know what it is.
I don't know. They didn't send me anything. So if Odyssey's sending you stuff and not me, I'm jealous.
Mike Brown in the chat. Was somebody supposed to send me? Oh, new backdrop. I don't know if I was allowed to say new backdrop.
Well,
Mike Brown also wrote in our chat, quote, that's be a new BetQL backdrop, which is not the best way that could have been phrased, but that's okay, Mike.
It's, you know what? It's blame. It's autocorrect. We'll just say it was autocorrect. Yes. It ruined the whole thing. Oh, man. So I was talking to somebody about this earlier. If we get, looking at these, by the way, I do want to credit Scott Lynn real quick for his analysis of the Eagles that he mentioned. Producer Scott Lynn said right before we were going to break, didn't have time. He said, as an Eagles fan, I'll give you the analysis. They suck. So this is good. So he backs up what I say. They're fraud and they're lying to us. They've just made you think they're a playoff team because of their schedule. And I can tell you, they beat Washington and the Giants. Both those teams also suck. So good luck against Tampa. Tampa minus 8.5. I love. I desperately, with the Bills playing New England, like, all I can think of, and I don't know why I still keep thinking of that game, maybe because it was just so unique, but that, I don't even know what we'd call it. Do we call it a blizzard game? It wasn't really a blizzard, but
it was like a windstorm, basically, kind of like that.
Windstorm game where the goalposts are waving back and forth, and Bill Belichick just says, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to run the ball almost 50 times on you guys, and you can't stop me. Watch this.
It's going to work.
And he proceeded to do that. And there's nothing but just angry Bills after the game where, look, the one reporter that did have the question of, like, should you feel embarrassed about the way they ran on you? I wouldn't have phrased it that way, but the reality of it was it's still funny because I wasn't involved in this and I wasn't asked the question. I want to see, one, how Mac Jones plays in these Buffalo conditions. But two, I wouldn't mind seeing another game just like that to watch what Bill Belichick does this time. Because we've seen it so often and especially in the playoffs, where he finds ways to manipulate whatever the factors are into some weird, unique, doesn't make any sense, I didn't know you could do this way, and it ends up working for him. I always think back to years ago, it was against the Ravens. Do you remember the eligible, ineligible receiver thing that he did, where he bent the rules and like running backs came in, but they were announced as ineligible, and the Ravens are like, I don't, what are we doing here? They were like, Ricky Bobby didn't know what to do with their hands. They just looked around like, what are we supposed to do? I would love to see something like that again, just because we've already seen him manipulate the Bills in one way and then see it happen again in another way. Because the Bills, I like the Bills in this game, but the one factor, and it always is what, it's like what sways me with Alabama, the Nick Saban effect, the Bill Belichick effect has a very big, there's a factor to that in this game. And that's the one thing that kind of has me just slightly hesitant, because the Bills clearly have the better quarterback. They've got a guy that at least has some playoff experience. But that doesn't mean that Bill Belichick's not going to find a way to manipulate what they can do and use it against the Bills.
Well, it's sort of it's like nostalgia with Belichick, right? It's going back to that Mad Men clip that I retweeted that somebody found for me, the pitch from the wheel. It's delicate, but potent for nostalgia. So, yeah, I mean, I'm with you.
Can you recite the whole thing? Do you have it memorized?
No. If I I mean, I wish I could, because it's brilliant, and it's, I mean, it's awesome, but it's, I could try, but I'd mess up like half of it, so.
Do it. No, you have to do it now. Now it's too late. You said you'd try, so I have to do it. All right, let's get it ready.
No.
Ready? And action. Go. Come on. Come on, you can do it.
So he starts, so they ask him, like, have you thought about to incorporate the wheel? And then the second codec guy goes, because, you know, like, people don't think of the wheel as like new technology, even though it's like the original, and they're expecting a pitch on the wheel. And he basically says, like, you know, technology is a shimmering lure, I believe is the term that he uses. But it's, you know, there's also something that allows the customer to have a more like personal relationship to the product. And then he tells a story about like, it uses an anecdote about the first job that he had, like worked at a clothing warehouse with a Greek guy named Teddy or something, and the lessons that Teddy taught him about nostalgia and what it means. It's like, it's a twinge in your heart, far more powerful than just like something. I don't know. It's really good. It's a really good speech. So that's the best I can do, having watched it one time.
I was expecting more passion from you. How about you?
Well, if I knew it better, like, I could do it. Meantime, like my daughter, who's four, will call me on the phone when she's with my wife, like at her parents or her sisters or whatever during the day, because her obsession is memorizing all of the words to Let It Go from Frozen, which she's watched a million times. But now she's like, her language skills are good enough. She can write her own name. She can write other words. She's learning all of those things where she can actually like, she knows, like she can know words. She can know words to songs and like understand a little bit about like singing basically, and like what that's about, as opposed to like very basic children's songs. So she'll call me on my wife's phone on FaceTime and be like, I don't remember I'm at this part, and she'll start doing it. And then I have to like fill in the part that she's on, and it'll like allow her sort of like, there's a section of the train track missing and the train's coming, and I have to fill in the track cause she's about to sing it. And then we have to like, that allows the train to keep going basically. So right. Exactly. As Mike Brown types our chat, like line, like she'll be like Kingdom of Isolation. She'll be like, I don't know what's next. And I'll be like, and it looks like I'm the queen. That's the next line. Like, please do that. So these are the things that you have to know as a girl dad. But with the Don Draper bit, don't quite know it yet. Not quite up to speed. But I would recommend.
Well, I know I'm back with you again next week. So if you could memorize it by next week, I think that would be great.
And I'll work on it. Well, it means I get to watch the episode a lot more. And it's a phenomenal hour of television.
There you go. You've already got people helping you out. Send you the clip. I mean, there's already help with this, you know?
Well, clearly other people feel the same way. I mean, it was obviously like a highly rated episode and season of television, won a bunch of awards. The nostalgia with Belichick, though, to get back to kind of your original argument of like,
are you sure, though? Because it's been requested that I ask you to rap like a moose. So do we want to save that for later, or do you want to do that right now?
Oh, try to make him rap like moose, like Mark Melusis, I guess is what Bill's going for.
Oh,
Bill, how did Moose... Oh, Moose was trying to get me to rap, not rap like him.
Trying to convince you to do it, and you were just like, I'm not going to do that, so we can move on with the segment.
I've never really freestyle rapped in my life before, and it's not something that I'm ever going to be good at, because I can think on my feet really well in very specific situations, but I can't think well on my feet in that type of situation. Like, I can't put the phrases together correctly, and if I worked at it for hours and hours and hundreds of hours, maybe there'd be something there that still wouldn't be good, but it would at least rhyme. I just can't quite get it there. Can't go over there.
Well, why don't we just give, we'll actually give you lyrics to a song that won't get you in trouble, and then we'll go from there. I think that that could be the compromise. So we'll just, perfect. You can read the lyrics.
Look, I'm going to get through this point about Patriots Bills if it kills both of us. So my point about
sure?
your,
okay.
your
right.
nostalgia.
Are you sure?
Well, there's a really funny interview. There's this really famous thinker writer named Christopher Hitchens who passed away several years ago, and he was on this panel, and this woman keeps interrupting him, and he has this very famous line, like, "Look, I'm going to finish this point if it kills you." It's just like, and everybody starts laughing. And anyway, so my point would just be like, you're not wrong for like. You want to bet that, like, you like the Bills. I like the Bills in the game a little bit too, but there's a part of you that's just like, really, I'm gonna lay points against Bill Belichick with Sean McDermott and Josh Allen in a playoff game, and that's a good idea. That's something I'm interested in doing. So I'm kind of with you on that. The thing about that game specifically that's really interesting, we didn't actually go over this as much yesterday. There's a little bit of Alabama Georgia vibe mixed into this game because it's a rematch game. It's actually a trilogy game. And part of the handicap of Alabama Georgia last night was. Do you agree that the line should be way different based only off of the one meeting? Like, lines Georgia 6.5, Bama kills them. Should it be different? Like, your answer to that fundamental question is going to dictate what your bet is in the game. And it's not that there was even a right answer. I chose to go with it shouldn't have been, and they Georgia won, but there was just a good, I mean, you could have made a very compelling argument for Alabama exposed so many weaknesses in that game and Saban's such a mastermind that it should have moved and it should have moved more. You could have even made that argument. I'm sure somebody was crafting that. As well with this game, the reason why it's so interesting is it's a trilogy game. How much should the line change? Should it at all based off anything we saw in the first two meetings? All the other rematches of these playoff games occurred in normal conditions, environments. There was a normalcy to a lot of them. The Tampa Philly game, for example, occurred in very normal conditions on a Thursday night in the middle of the year and the weather was perfect. So like maybe we could take something away from that game and make an adjustment. First Patriots Bills game has to be a toss out. It was played like a rugby match. So, okay, like can't really use anything from that. Second meeting, Josh Allen plays to the absolute apex of his ability in a road game. And I always felt like the spot for the Bills in that game was really advantageous too. How each team was coming into the game felt more like an advantageous situation for the Bills, even though they were on the road. So like, can we use anything from that to make a betting decision? This line is obviously because the Bills are at home and the weather's not completely ridiculous. It's a little different looking number than we had in the first two games. Is that correct? Should it be more? Like, you're almost trying to answer the same question that you were answering in Alabama, Georgia, but with different information. Alabama, Georgia, you had a game in a neutral with no weather in a dome, like so many of the same similar conditions that you could make like an easier decision about what you wanted to do either way. With these, you're trying to have all these like sort of complex decisions about like, well, the weather game, was there anything? The second meeting, what was that? And like, is there stuff to pull away from that to determine whether there's a bet to be made in this game? So same skill set as Alabama, Georgia, I think, applying to a lot of these playoff games. But Bills Patriots is unique, obviously, in that you can kind of make a lot of excuses for both teams in the first two meetings.
And that's what kind of has me just a little more torn, is to not just go with the Bill Belichick effect, right? Because I thought that with Nick Saban and Alabama and through a good portion of that game,
so
it
looked
like
snake bit now. Yeah.
And then it wasn't. And right. And now I'm kind of going the other way. I'm like over 70% of the money's on the Bills right now. You've got Mac Jones, rookie quarterback versus Josh Allen, who I'm definitely going to give obviously the Bills advantage at quarterback, but you know, New England defensively. And we've seen how Bill Belichick can scheme things up. This to me is a really difficult game to pick, because you have, it's like you have your heart and you have your head kind of putting you in two different directions here. Like, my head tells me go Bills, go with the better quarterback, go with the team that has a little more experience in this position. But then there's my heart that says Bill Belichick, you love Bill Belichick and you know what he can do. I don't know if I really love him, but maybe that's kind of what my heart's telling me right now.
From a betting standpoint, still, you probably love him.
Yeah, that from a betting standpoint, you're right. Yeah. he makes me comfortable betting. Look, I'm going to right now, you know, we still have a few days, but since it's the only day this week that I'm on the show with you, I'm going to lean towards the Bills -4, but I'm doing it reluctantly and I'm kind of gritting my teeth in the process.
Sure. Totally understand. I think what our hesitation speaks to is, or our hesitance to bet the Bills or the Patriots, is like, the number's pretty good. Like, it's like a pretty good representation of the difference between the teams, I think. Other people might disagree, might think there's an insanely valuable bet to be made. I think it's probably a great number. And I think that's why you and I are both kind of hemming and hawing here a little bit on this one.
Jim Root's going to take us around college basketball next. Nick Ashew and Ken Barkley, it's You Better You Bet on BetQL.
Did you know that parents rank financial literacy as the number one most difficult life skill to teach? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app for families. With Greenlight, you send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on your kids' spending. With real-time notifications, kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. And parents can rest easy, knowing their kids are learning about money with guardrails in place. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I have to crank it up just real quick. Just give it a minute. Yeah. Let's see that little bobble. Bobble on your beanie if you're watching on Twitch.
Do a little pom-pom. Get the pom-pom
on. It's getting
on.
The pom-poms getting close. I
have, the delay because I have 10 spreadsheets open. See, so college basketball is on this monitor over here, and then NBA is on this monitor over here. So, trying to get it all together here.
That's, when you're really excited about your bets, there's a little extra just, yeah, a lot of things going on. Nick Ashew,
Ken just Barkley. Perks up a little bit, you know, that's how it works. Yeah.
Costos is out, but he is very ecstatic that Joe Judge is out. We just exchanged a couple of quick messages. He said he checked out week two, though, after they played Washington, and I said, well, good for you, because it took me a lot longer to check out with my horrible team. So, but yeah, now Washington will end up being, I guess, the worst team in the division. Although Ron Rivera spoke a lot today, and it's funny. He talked about, like, hey, maybe if we pull back, I swear to God, he said this, Ken, he said, if we pull back the expectations a little bit, you'll see some players do more. Like, that's like kind of the context
pull them back.
Of the conversation.
Just pull back the expectations.
Yeah, why don't we just, really, it's the most important thing. Here's the one thing, and I do like Ron Rivera, and he is still made this organization more credible than they've been in a long time in Washington, but he is the ultimate front runner, where it's when they were losing right before the bye week and they were just getting hammered. He was like, you know, maybe it was a bad thing for us to go 7-9 and win the division, because yes, it gave them a first place schedule. They weren't ready for it. They're not good enough. And then they start winning again. They had a 4-game win streak after their bye. They beat Tampa. And then all of a sudden he's all in on the expectations, talking about the playoffs again and stuff. It's like, make up your mind, dude. You want people to temper expectations a little bit. Well, then you got to do it yourself. So it's just, I was hoping Joe Judge was going to get a lifetime contract with the Giants and they just have him there forever running his quarterback sneaks throughout the season in meaningless times. But it'll be interesting to see what this does for, you know, the expectations for the Giants. But then also where they go. That's another look. As bad as they've been for years, that's still an organization, though, where you could look at and say, if you're a head coach, getting a chance to coach the Giants and maybe even a fresh start. You're not going with Daniel Jones. It's going to be a new general manager. There could be a lot of changes there with that organization, because it's been a while since they've been even respectable.
Yeah, I totally agree. From a, you know, obviously I'll always approach it from a betting standpoint. You know, Dallas is going to keep that same nucleus. It's going to be made the playoffs, so no changes forthcoming that we can predict. It's going to be McCarthy and Dak and the young defensive talent. They'll be the favorite to win the division next year, maybe by a lot. The Eagles will be the second choice, almost no matter what. It'll depend a little bit on what Washington does in the draft and free agency, but the Eagles will probably emerge as like the clear second choice right behind Dallas to win the division. And then what happens after that? So like your team and the Giants, how do they fit together? What is the proximity of them to the other two teams? How far do they go down? Like, where's the bottom on their ratings? Win totals next year. Like, now that we know Philly is at least like a 500, slightly over 500 rated team, which we didn't know entering this year, their win total was 6.5. Now that we upgrade that, the wins have to come from somewhere. And Dallas is only going to be rated like a monster again next year. Like, spoiler alert. So if that's true and Philly's win total goes up, which it has to, like their win total next year, I could see something like, oh man, like 8.5 juiced under to start with probably for them. And then you see what happens. You know, that's like a massive upgrade that has to come from somewhere. So even if the Giants could probably be a team, I think by firing Joe Judge, they've transformed from a team where you couldn't make the number low enough next year where I would at least not think about the under, like 6, 5.5, 6.5. It doesn't matter. I mean, like, it's the combustibility. Is that a word? Combustibility.
I think so.
The combustibility of the situation. I should have just said combustibility and it would have been really smart. The combustibility of the situation would have made unders still attractive, I think, even at like Lions level win totals, even with Jones coming back because of Judge. But now what are they set up as? Maybe now they set up as kind of like, could be like Matt Rhule year one Panthers might be a really good like kind of cross comparison, where super low win total, like couldn't have made it low enough. Bridgewater was the quarterback. I think the win total was 5 in a 16 game season, but they were super feisty in a bunch of games. I think they either pushed or went under by a game, but they could be that team where the win total, maybe it's low and they overachieve versus expectation. Like, you give yourself the chance to do that at least by having this massive overhaul. I don't know if they're going to end up doing it. I don't know if I'm going to bet on it, but I at least have to immediately change how I'm going into next year from a win total standpoint with them. If he was still the coach, there's a 0% chance at any number I would bet the over. Couldn't pay me to do it. You could have made it 2. I would have just passed. Like, that just would never have happened. And now you open all kinds of different options. Maybe they become an over team next year. Let's see how the market kind of prices them.
Yeah, and the question is, who is Daniel Jones still their quarterback? I mean, this is one of those market resets, it feels like, in the NFL, where every few years you get just a whole bunch of teams looking for a new coach, which means a lot of these rising star assistants, maybe some coaches will come back, like a Jim Caldwell getting another opportunity. Jim Harbaugh's name is certainly still going to be out there with the Bears.
And where does Flores go? Like, where does he shift to? And like, how do you improve the rating of that team? So.
Apparently he's interviewing with the Bears either like today or tomorrow or something like that. So there's a very good chance that he's right back ASAP out there again. Oh, yeah. I would hire him in a second. The reports, especially today, that he wanted Justin Herbert. And then
he had a falling out with the GM because they disagreed on the quarterback. Yeah. Like, it's really easy
and
to understand.
He was right.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. He was there.
And I'm sure he told him about it. That's
all right. Yeah. Yeah. I could imagine. That's it. Yeah.
Hey, morons. Right.
Yeah. And this is true. Somebody in Twitch just mentioned Russell Wilson of the Giants. I mean, that was on his list. That's not, I know the Seahawks have said he's not going anywhere, but of course that's what you say. You don't tell your fans that you're not going to get rid of him. But if he says, I don't want to be here anymore, do they say, hey, we'll see you in training camp? Or do they really just say, fine, it's maybe time to reset this thing and you get a whole bunch of draft picks and Russell Wilson goes to the Giants?
I still don't think he's going to go to the Giants, but I'm with you. There's at least the possibility.
Oh, I think it's a terrible spot. I think it's insane for him to even consider it. I have said
What if they hire a guy that Russell loves?
Yeah, maybe. But again, that team right there with that horrible offensive line, I've written about it and I've said it on multiple of my shows. I have said, go to the Browns. I know you may laugh at this, but Cleveland is set up to win if you just have a quarterback. I'm telling you, everybody laughs at the Browns, but they've actually built a team that can win if you have somebody there, a quarterback. So we'll see, but apparently they're going to stick with Baker Mayfield. So have fun, Cleveland. Good luck with that. So.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.